we go. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Shelly Kino, and this is Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society has placed limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example or a more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and then just when it thought life was over, it reforms into the beautiful butterfly. But that's not struggling enough. It's not over. It then has to fight to get out of that cocoon in order to make its wings strong enough to take it all the places that it's going to go. And while that can't be easy, there is a beautiful outcome, and I truly believe that our struggles help us all to become that butterfly. And when we can look at things from a different perspective, we can help others become the beautiful butterflies that they are to become as well. So today I have a returning guest. Michael Murray was with me a few weeks ago, and we talked about his life. We're going to do a little quick synopsis of that today, because today's episode, he brought up something in that other episode, and I said, oh, I've never thought about that. That's a great topic. Let's talk about that. And so we're going to talk about adoption today, and being someone who is adopting, who has disabilities. Adopting isn't easy, but you compound that when you have disabilities. And so he's going to share with us the journey of adopting his son. So, Michael, how are you doing today? Thank you for coming back.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. We had such a great conversation last time. I know that today is going to be just as great. So for anyone who has not joined me before, please be sure to like or subscribe to the channel. If you are watching with us live today, give us a hashtag live and tell us where you're watching from. If you watch it in the replay, do the same thing, but just say hashtag replay. If you have any comments or questions for Michael or myself during this time, or if you're watching in the replay, pop them into the chat and I will be sure to share them with Michael afterwards, or if it's during the show live, I will pop them up on the screen. So enough about me, Michael, give everybody joining us today a little bit about who you are and kind of your background.
Okay, well, for anybody who did not see the other episode, the quick version is that I was born with a disability called cerebral palsy. I lost oxygen at birth, and that will cause the CP. And that affects my motor skills and things like that. And I was born in New York. My parents won a trip to Disney World when I was about 7 years old. We came down here, and my mom and dad, they loved it so much and thought the weather would be a little bit easier for me. So we moved down to Orlando about a year later. But I've been here ever since I was 7 years old. Let's see, I am a writer. I write books. Devotional books, and 10 years ago now, I married my wife, Diana, so can't believe it's been 10 years.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think that's kind of the nutshell of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you mentioned on our last episode was that when you were at a restaurant with your soon-to-be wife,
right,
there was someone in the restaurant that when you got up to go to pay or go to the restroom or whatever, she made a comment to your soon-to-be wife. Do you remember what that was?
I think it started out by asking, because we were discussing our wedding that day, you know, making the guest list. So when I left, this person said to Diane, "Oh, are you gonna marry him?" And Diane said, "Yes." Yeah. And then the person asked, are you gonna have kids with him?" Which Diane thought was kind of, you know, a pretty straightforward question, I guess.
Yeah.
Not really something you asked somebody, but I think her answer was, well, yeah, at some point we do want kids.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind. But that's one of those limits that I mentioned, is that so often people see on an outside a certain thing, and then they make assumptions, and they set those limits upon that person and their abilities and their potential. And I so appreciate that you brought that story up, and the fact that you have now adopted your son. So just for anybody who is watching, adoption is not an easy process. Hi, Fran from Southern Illinois. Thank you for joining us today. I think you were with us the last time, if I remember correctly. And it's a long, drawn out, expensive process. It's heart-wrenching for many wanting to be parents. And all of that is a very difficult journey to go through. So if you want to elaborate on any of that part of it, you know, that, like, maybe from your wife's perspective, what it was like for her as well. But when you went into the adoption agency, I'm just going to let you share, because I have an imagination about what happened. But I want to hear it from you.
Yeah. And, before we go any further with the adoption story, I wanted to say one thing about adoption, and that is, there is a hero of every adoption story, and that hero really is the mother of the child. So I don't want to make that. I don't feel that. I want to say that. You know,
that's a beautiful mother, sentiment.
The mother who gave birth to the baby, we try to honor her with everything we do. And I don't want to say that up front, you know, because I think sometimes you can see adoption as people could be like, oh, you're doing such a great thing. I do think it is a great thing, but sometimes we could look at the mother with a little bit of, you know, like judgment, you know.
And that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. That is very true, and I appreciate your sentiment with that.
And that is something that we had to learn as we went through the process. You know, they really teach you to look at things like that, you know. So when we got married, you know, we knew we wanted to have kids at some point. And, you know, see, having CP does not necessarily affect your ability to have birth kids naturally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know a woman that has CP that and she had a baby, you know. So we always thought adoption was something really, really cool that we might do later on. But for a while we didn't think we were gonna have kids. But, you know, biologically, but after a few years, we determined that that wasn't working out. So we looked into other avenues, like IVF, but we didn't get that far down that road because it seemed like it would be a lot of strain on Diana. And
sure. It is a very, I've not done it, but I've known friends who have done it, and it is a very, very taxing opportunity process. I don't know what the right word is there.
We know people that have done it too, so we were glad to have them to tell us about it, And again, for them, it was the right choice, but we decided maybe we should look into the adoption thing, more. So, and the first step to any adoption is to get a home study done. And that when somebody comes in, they examine your house, but they also go through all your finances, whatever you think in private, they're gonna basically uncover, So we had a home study done in the summer of 2020. We were getting ready for it in the middle of COVID, which was a crazy time,
Yeah. Can I pause for just a second and ask you to elaborate? You just mentioned, the fact that those home studies are very invasive. You didn't use that word, but I'm going to use that word. And that they do, they want your whole life laid out so that they can decide if your home is appropriate. What sort of impression did you receive when this person who did this home study saw you for the first time or spoke to you for the first time?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, I mean, we had both over the phone at first. So going in, like, she knew that I had CP, But when she came over, I was very nervous,
Right.
And she came over and we sat down and she got to know us a little bit. And she said, I'm going to be very honest with you. She was like, it's going to be, you guys really are going to face a different kind of challenge than most couples because I do have a disability, And that is something that the birth mother is gonna have to know about. They're gonna have to know about, and they're gonna have to select you, So I was glad that she didn't sugarcoat it for us,
right? Right.
Because she was like, but given that, you guys wanted to do this, she was able to offer us some tips about what we should do,
And can you share some of those tips in case there are others going through what you went through?
Yeah. I should add, she also had some encouraging stories of past clients she had that had a disability also, you know, and that were able to adopt, you know, so that was good to hear that too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what he did was, so after the home study, basically, you have to choose an adoption agency. But what she told us was, instead of choosing one agency, she recommended that we go with an adoption consultant. And the difference with that is this consultant, which they were a great consultancy, and their name was Hello Baby, I believe.
Oh.
But they really work with you, and they have contacts with a lot of different agencies, you know? And she was like, basically saying, because you're probably going to get a lot of no's before you get a yes, you want to make sure you have as many opportunities as you can. And so going with this, with consultant, and that will enable you to really get your profile in front of more mothers to just increase the chances.
Yeah. And so I have a question that if you don't want to answer, I completely understand. So if you don't want to answer, just say no, thank you. Do you think it's fair the way that you were looked at and the words that you were said, as far as, you know, that it's going to be that much more difficult for you and you're probably going to get a lot of no's because of your disability?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if it's fair, but I know that it was accurate. Why don't I repair? And you know, I had a lot of emotions that day. You know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a moment that it really hit me the hardest was. So at one point, you know, she looks at our house, and everything is going good. At one point, she had to separate me and Diana and talk to us individually, you know? So when it was my turn, you know, they asked what, like, you know, why do you think Diana will be a good mother, you know? And that was a very easy question for me, you know? Sure. And they basically wanted to see if they're on the same page, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But at the end of that conversation, where it was just me and her, she looked at me and they were like, "Okay, now you need to know, you know, I need to make one thing clear that, like, if you adopt this child, you know, as a baby, you need to understand that like you cannot be alone with this baby at any time. Meaning that, like, you know, Diana can't leave to go to the store for 10 minutes. You cannot be alone because it's a safety thing." And he said, like, do you understand that, basically? And do you agree to that, you know? I said, yes, you know. And again, they, one of the things was like, yes, I would never want to be alone and with a baby. But something about hearing that out loud, you know, kind of like gets you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wiped a tear away. I can't imagine being the person that that was being said to and about, how emotional that must have been for you. It's still like, okay, I'm going to take myself off camera because I...
I think one of the things was like, man, did you have to say it? Like, can't it be a thing where like we both kind of know it, but we don't have to say it?
Right.
But yeah. She had a job to do, you know, legally. She had to make that known.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I imagine that was incredibly difficult to hear. And another question before you continue, and I'm sorry to keep interrupting your flow of thoughts here. How long does that home study take? Is it just one visit or is it multiple visits?
The home study, getting all the people work together, took us a couple months. But we had to get like letters of recommendation. We had to get the money stuff figured out. We had to get, but then the actual visit was only one visit. Okay. Or maybe like 2 hours, you know, maybe a couple hours. So okay. You know.
And it was in that visit where they separated you and spoke to you individually.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And then after that, she had to go back and take a look at everything, all the paperwork, and give us, you know, like a yes, what I know. And once you get approved for their own study, it's good for 1 year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So if you don't end up within a year, you have to, you know, basically get renewed, you know. I think it's a little bit easier to get renewed. You know, you don't have to do everything over, but you still have to get it, you know. Renewed.
Right. And did you have to get it yours renewed? Was it longer than a year in the process?
Luckily, we didn't have to.
That's wonderful. So I do want to just read. We have gotten a comment from Fran, and she says, I get it. I have different needs and was trusted to watch a friend's toddlers. It was overwhelming that she trusted me with my different needs. I could not have done it when they were babies.
Yeah, babies are a different thing than toddlers.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like now it's completely different, you know. But when they're babies, you know, they're very fragile, you know.
Yeah, and very dependent on the adults.
I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sorry. I've interrupted your flow multiple times. So you had the home visit. That was a few hours in actuality, but the preparation for it was months. And she had to have that conversation with you. Were you able to find out what Diana said were the reasons she felt you would be a good father? And were you able to share your reasons why you thought she would be a good father?
Yeah. We spoke about it after, you know. And you know, I think we both said we spoke about our commitment to God and each other, you know, and just the way that we have. I think for me, she may have said something about me being funny or having humor, you know.
I somehow get the impression that you're really good at dad jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, so it was, luckily, we passed that test.
Good.
And that was in June of 2020.
Okay.
And then we got connected to the adoption consultancy. And we had a very good experience with them. We had kind of our own person who we could like call anytime, you know, for any questions. But basically the next step is you gotta put together this booklet that gets presented to each other mothers, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, and the booklet basically says who you are as a, as a family, who you are, what kind of family you are, a little bit about where you live, what you do. So we had to get started on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also where we got the advice to be honest about your disability, you know.
Sure, you don't want to mislead someone right from the front. That's definitely not going to help them want to hand over their child to you.
and so we took some time to really put that book together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get pictures taken and this, you know, all that good stuff. So, that probably took a couple of months to really think about that, because luckily they kind of guided us through it. Like, you know, what you want to put in there, the kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we did that, and then once you get your book ready, then after all that, then you are ready to start presenting to the expectant mothers.
Okay.
And that way things get really emotional, you know.
Oh yeah, I could imagine.
And as I said, because we did the adoption consultant and not just one agency, the good thing was we were getting a lot of opportunities to present our profile, you know.
Hmm.
I've heard stories. A lot of people were like, some couples, they may have only got to present their profile maybe like once a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where we were getting a couple of opportunities every week.
Wow.
And
so when you say present this? Like, they actually, they look at your binder first, or you present the binder in person to the expectant mother?
What happened is we get an email from the agency, or a consultancy that works with different agencies, and we have this case, this expectant mother, that we think might be a good fit for you. For you, or would you like to present your book to them? So we get to read a little bit about their story.
Oh, okay.
We can see like when they, you know, how old they are, where they live, what their due date is, and then we're like, oh, if we say yes, we want present our book to them, then the agency, they give our book to that mother.
Okay.
And the mother, she might get, they might present her work for a lot of them.
Wow.
And obviously, if she doesn't like any of those, she can request more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But normally, they try only, you know, and they don't want to give somebody 20 options and completely, like, overwhelm them, you know?
Sure.
They try to be, there are, like, you know, four families that we think will be a good fit for what you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might like on that end, they might already say like, oh, I want my baby to go to a couple that has a Christian faith, you know.
Right.
Or we want our, you know, baby to go with a couple that doesn't have any faith in God. So, like, you know, they'll take their preference and try to match it with who they have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we did that a lot, and we got a lot of no's, you know?
Yeah.
But we kind of just expected that, you know?
Yeah.
We were saying this might take a year or two, you know?
I imagine that even expecting the no's, especially the first one, it still was very difficult.
Yeah.
And what was this doing to your marriage at the time? Was it adding, I mean, I can only imagine it was adding more strain and stress.
Yeah, it was a weird time in general because it was COVID time. So a lot of the ideas that they tell you to do, like, oh, you know, go somewhere to take your mind off of it. for a few months, you know, we really couldn't do that too much.
Right.
But we would just kind of keep looking forward to the next one, you know?
Yeah. And Fran asks kind of a follow-up to what I said, but she asks, what helped you to persevere through the process?
Yeah. It was that we had each other and we knew that we knew that we were. Well, we knew that this was the option that we wanted to do. We knew we were. And even that woman who did the home study at the beginning said, like, prepare yourselves for at least a year to wait, you know?
Oh, okay. So you at least had been, it wasn't just your thought, it was that someone else was telling you that it could take at least a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the hardest thing happened because one day, I think it was kind of in the middle of maybe a few months before we got a call that said that there was a mother who she did not want to make the choice about who to pick. So she was leaving it up to the agency.
Oh, wow.
And the agency decided to pick us. So we got a call basically saying that you've been selected.
What did that feel like?
And then, literally, I kind of was like a little bit like, something didn't really seem right about that. I had this feeling, and then literally, it was like literally 10 minutes later, they called back and they were like, hey, so the mother decided that she does want to look at some more profile books.
Oh my gosh, that's like you're on the mountaintop and then the whole mountain just was removed.
And from the story that I told my, I couldn't help but thinking that, oh, the agency picked us, but then the mother saw our book and she didn't, you know, maybe seeing that I had a disability made her, you know, not want to pick us, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was hard for me to not be thinking that, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And what did that kind of do to your own self-confidence? And did you have any guilt at all that somehow you were preventing Diana from being a mother?
I definitely felt like a little bit down on myself. Yeah. Even though I knew there wasn't anything I could do, it was still hard to not have my mind go there. Like was this
sure
something that you're like, oh. You know, like especially like wow, we got picked, and then literally 10 minutes later, you know, like wait, and, you know.
Yeah, I know how my husband and I had 5 years of trying before we were able to conceive our daughter, and I remember every time the pregnancy test came back negative and how I felt and how I felt like somehow it was my fault. And he felt that way too. And, you know, when you are working at something for so long and nothing's happening, you tend to start thinking inward, you know, what am I not doing? What am I? And especially me as the female thinking, you know, should I be eating differently? Should I be, you know, I mean, there were just questions after questions after questions. And so, not that I obviously can put myself exactly in your position, but I definitely can empathize a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
What the process was for you all.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's very painful. I can't really, that whole other set of issues that I think the woman goes through, you know, and just feeling like, you know, knowing that, I know that I would never want Diana to feel like she did something wrong. And so I know that she would never want me to think that I did something wrong, you know?
Right. And you haven't, neither one of you.
Right. So I think that kind of what helped, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, oh, man, like that was kind of, like, I was thinking, I wonder if they kind of jumped the gun on that, and they were like, maybe they should have, like, at least said, hey, this is the family we picked for you, like, can you right. give us an okay before we go call them, you know, or something yeah. like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think maybe they were, that agency, I think maybe they were excited to, like, see us get children, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it was just out of, like, excitement that they, you know, because I know when they call back, I know that they felt very bad. You know, like we can hear it, you know.
Yeah, I would imagine, at least I hope so, and I would imagine so.
But that day was just a very emotional day. You know?
Yeah, I think that's probably an understatement, actually, Michael.
Yeah, right. I think, like, man, because even after that, there was still a chance that we could have got picked, you know?
Right.
But we did. But we didn't, you know? So.
And so how long was it then from the time that you started off the process until you were actually chosen and the stuck with that? You said it was under a year, but how much?
When you think about it, it actually wasn't that long, even though it felt long. It was actually, we had the home study in June, and then in the middle of March, we got this a case presented to us, and, you know, we said yes, you know, show it all for a while, you know. At that point, we were kind of just, like, I feel like we were just pros at it. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, okay, do it. Yeah, but we really didn't think a lot about each one anymore. About us. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I think that was, like, I think it was a week later when it was a Saturday. I just finished recording a video for my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I went to go lay down after that. And then Diana came up the room on the phone and on speaker and said that the mother of that one just selected us.
Wow.
And we couldn't believe it. And it's very hard because nothing is finalized until they... So the way it works, at least in our state, is when a baby is born, the mother has 48 hours to change her mind.
Yeah.
And that is so hard, but I think it is a good thing to have. As much as it is hard, I think that the mother should have every right to change her mind when she sees that baby, you know?
Yeah.
But
I'm sure those 48 hours felt just as long as the previous year and a half from the time you started the process until the baby was born.
Yes. So that, and also, so we get the call, and basically, you know, they're saying that the mother was due in about 10 days.
Wow.
Like, we go from just never knowing when it might happen to like, and also the baby is due in 10 days.
Wow. So it wasn't a year and a half. I was thinking pregnancy in the whole term, had a few weeks. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think normally with all of these, they try to wait till the birth mother is pretty far along.
Okay.
Before they present her with the options of who to pick from. But that does make it very quick.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you're going to be a parent in a month or less. I'm guessing Marie Murray is someone related to you, but Marie, I'm the same with you. I am wiping tears as just the emotional roller coaster this episode has been. And I imagine if you're related and you were living it, now you're reliving it, and it's true. Mercy.
That is my mom. That's my mom. And then,
okay. And this is our grandchild we're talking about.
I called her that day and she, you know, flipped out.
Yeah, I bet.
And then my mom, you know, I think she texted me, that day and said, I feel like there's something I should be doing right now. I'm like, well, there's nothing really to do right now. There'll be plenty of time, later. I guess when I called her, I said, hello, Mama.
Oh, I bet that was, I know the excitement my mom had when we shared with her, we were pregnant. So I'm sure it was a very similar excitement. And that was a good moment.
So after that, you gotta do a lot of paperwork. And in that time, they email you a bunch of stuff to fill out. And we did, in that time, we did get to connect with the expectant mother over text message. Mm-hmm. And she happened to be in just like one city over from us.
Oh, wow.
We didn't know there was a chance that there were a few states they worked with, but there was a chance we might have to go to a different state.
Okay.
But this happened to be right in the city over. And in that week when we were waiting, and the part where I get emotional, we were the birth mother, like, she read our profile and said that we were the perfect family because she could see how much we loved each other. And having a disability did not matter at all to her.
Wow.
I think that lets you know that, like, wow, like, it was the child we were supposed to get. And it was the person that we were supposed to connect with. And, and you really do connect with that mother for the rest of your life. She will always be part of our family,
I can't imagine, but that's a beautiful sentiment. I have some family members that adopted, and they have visitation with the birth mother.
We try to see her like once a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
We always tell Emmett, like, oh, she's the one that she had. You were in her belly.
Yeah.
And we make that a part of his story now, so that as he gets older, it's not this big, like, secret reveal,
Right.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because he turned, he's three, let's see, if he was March of 21, so he's like three and a half now.
In March 31st.
Okay.
And even after that, you were born on March 31st, and then, we had to wait 2 days, and we wanted him to be with the mother and for her to have that space,
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part, she signed the papers and got released on the hospital. And went on the phone with, like, the person from the adoption agency. Look, that was from the local agency.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, we don't really know. Like, do we go to a hospital? What do we do?
Sure.
And they were like, oh, well, she just got released from the hospital. And the adoption person was she was with her said that we're gonna meet at this barbecue restaurant. And we were like, what? Like, so we went to a barbecue restaurant to meet Emmett and meet his butt mom and the and two ladies from the adoption agency to help us. And that was like a very weird thing.
Yeah.
We always say we got takeout that day.
That's great. Oh, I love that.
That was an emotional time to meet the mom and meet Emmett for the first time at two days old, you know.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of barbecue. But then the weird thing is, at the end, and then we put him in the car, and like, that's it. Like, you know, like, it's kind of like for real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of expect the universe to like have bells and whistles and a parade, a party or something when that, but yeah. No, just okay, put the baby in the car seat and now we drive away and the baby's ours.
Yeah.
That's
it. We get home from my house and my mom and dad are already there.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fran asks the question, did you have a sense of relief when you got to take Emmett home?
You know what's funny is I think Diana did. I think for me it got more real.
Sure.
I think it was the opposite. I think that week Diana was sweating it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of like a little bit more like okay, I think that girl will go. But then when we had the baby, I'm like, oh boy, this is real now.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of dads have that feeling, like it's hard for them to see it until it's really there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine what that must be like. So I don't want to ignore, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this name right, Badre. It says, you are good, my friend. And then he also had said, greetings and long live the mentality of goodness and love. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for both of those comments. And Marie and Fran, I thought it was Maria for a second. Marie and Fran, thank you for your comments today as well. So, Michael, we have just a few more minutes. I can't thank you enough for this emotional journey that you took me on in the audience today. I have shed quite a few tears. I've been off camera quite a bit, shedding tears of sadness and joy and then sadness and then joy. And so I so appreciate you being so honest with the whole process and some of the...
I'm going to say, too, that lady who did a home study, so after we got Emmett, She had to do a few check-ins.
Okay.
Before we met, you know, I think she had gone by 3 times before we like were able to officially legalize things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, again, you know, that kind of made me nervous, you know, like, I'm like, but they were all very, very good, you know, and she could tell that, you know, Emma was being taken care of, you know, and, you know, I think even though she was a very no-nonsense person, too straight, she was also the one to really get the whole thing started for us and recommend the path that ended up being a great idea. So, you know, sometimes I guess, and you probably have to do this in your job sometimes with IEPs. Sometimes you gotta be a little bit of a straight talker. But
sure.
But in the end, I knew that she was happy that the process went so well for us.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. That's incredible. So I just want to put up your website. If anybody would like more information about your books, they can go to www.nobodyleftout.net and they can learn about you. They can learn about where they can purchase your books. We didn't talk about those this time because that was the last episode, but I did just want to bring that up again. If you are looking for a devotional, he's got several good ones out there that you may want to purchase. And unfortunately, I do have to go today, right at the time. And so I just, again, my sincere thank you, and appreciation for your rawness in sharing your journey of adoption. It's a difficult journey for anyone. But as I said at the beginning, compounded by the disability, and to share all that you shared, and Fran says thank you as well for being so open with the adoption process. And Michael, I don't know what we could talk about again, but I would love to have you on again to talk some more sometime. We'll have to find a topic that we can discuss for a while.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much. And thank you, audience, for being with me and Michael today. And for those who are watching and will comment in the replay, thank you for watching and commenting as well. Have a wonderful week. When this airs live, this is Halloween week. So happy Halloween, everybody. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.